kids go to church, you gotta.
You gotta believe.
You gotta go to
church. That
was like, yeah.
I know, but.
She was like, I don't
know. Okay, well, let's. You're absolutely right, but let's peel back a layer of that onion, shall we? Without crying.
Jesus makes the law.
No, he did not. He did not. Now, you said it's actually believing. And you're completely right. I mean, we can all state facts about Christianity. Jesus died in around 33 A.D. Some have in 30 A.D. They started time calculation at 3 B.C. for his birth. But don't ask how it happened. It just, they messed up something. So...
I take it you go to 33 AD.
Oh, I don't think it really matters. I don't have a dog in that fight.
Wait, if it's AD after, like, Jesus' death, isn't that what AD means?
Oh, AD is a Latin phrase.
I thought it's like, I
that's,
died.
Oh, that's... More Christ and after death.
But... Yeah, it's a
not,
Latin phrase.
It's
I
not after death. Yeah. I got sure that learned that something called that.
Right, it's what we'd say.
I thought it should be.
I mean, I knew he didn't actually die in like 0 AD, yeah. But I was just
supposed to know that.
I thought that was the longest time.
Yeah, it's a Latin phrase. Adon, it means after Christ came into the earth. So, anyway, being recreated from the inside out in order to believe, Nathan, you're correct. Being recreated from the inside out. Just had a discussion at seminary. And we all agree that the church, as wonderful as she is, she's the bride, has one big time problem. Like, let's go back to a year. There was a Supreme Court ruling on the legitimacy of homosexual marriage. The White House turns rainbow colored, and we all got angry. And you know, that's right. We should have some righteous anger toward what God says is not good. However, what happened in some of that was this. We expected non-believers to adopt to a system that believers adopt to without having the new heart. So we expected kind of just, well, stop being like that. And they didn't have a new heart to believe that. So it's kind of like we're imposing this standard that they haven't been given the new heart for yet. Now, don't get me wrong. All cards on the table? Yes, that's sinful. Absolutely. And we pray for their repentance. But all the guys on CNN who said, well, Hollywood needs to change. Hollywood glorifies the homosexual lifestyle. Well, yeah, but you know what? They're not believers. So we can't sit here and go, stop doing that. They don't have a new heart that believes that, and therefore you can't just impose that on them. We as Christians, we can withhold our money from them. We can do things like that where they do change. But again, that's sort of imposed on them. They're going to go with what people want. So, something to think about. Something to think about. We expect non-believers to behave like believers, and that only frustrates us. It has to be from the inside out. We can't impose a code that comes from a supernatural act on people who are spiritually dead. The new birth is necessary. You have to have a changed heart. The old one has to be removed. Next question. What is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? What is that?
A movie.
Oh, it's not a movie. No, I'm just kidding. I was doing that just to do that. What is it?
A spectacular epic adventure.
It is, actually. It is a spectacular epic adventure. I've never even seen that. I just knew that.
Really?
No.
You ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Dude, that movie's dope.
Is it dope? Wow.
I haven't seen that movie either.
Okay.
It's pretty spectacular.
Would you agree? It's an epic adventure?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's got that guy.
Oh, okay. Is he that angry the whole movie?
Well,
is that a whole movie?
I wish.
Is that supposed to be like the Crusades or?
I don't know what it's about. I've never seen it. What is the kingdom of God? Jesus also calls it the kingdom of heaven. Here he talks about it. What is that? Like he walks around and says, you'll know the kingdom of heaven is at hand when, or this is the kingdom of God. And we all kind of like to skip over that and go, yeah, okay, let's get to the real action. What is the kingdom of God? What does the kingdom have?
Members.
What's that?
Members.
Members. And also, A king! Kingdom has members and a king. So what this is the king reigns, and he rules over the personalities of his subjects. That's what the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven. A bunch of little reflectors walking around proving to the world what God is really like through their personalities. So when someone cuts us off in traffic, and we go, we don't act out in anger, that's the kingdom of God. That's how God is like. He is long-suffering, long-fused. That's the king ruling over the personality of his people. That's harder said than done. For all of you who have started driving, right? Have you ever had somebody cut you off? The flesh comes out in those moments. I know you didn't. I know you didn't. I will passive-aggressively follow you this close and let you know I'm not happy about that. That's what we want to do. But or how about this? When someone, I don't know, does something that you really don't like against you personally, if you confront them in love and don't retaliate like they did to you, well, that's the king. That's what God is like. So that's what the kingdom of God is. It's him reigning and ruling over the personality of his people, being little reflectors of God wherever they go. What do you think Nicodemus responded the way he did in verse 4? In verse 4, he responds a certain way. How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb to be born. Do you think he really meant that? That is a perfect segue. Let's go to Ezekiel. Because is this all that new, Ezekiel? Remember, this guy, Nicodemus, had the entire Old Testament memorized. The entire thing memorized. Yes. In order to be in the Sanhedrin, you had to have this thing memorized. And you started at an early age. Ezekiel 36. And that's why Jesus said, how can you, being the teacher of Israel, not know what I'm talking about? That's right. You can do it what they call rote, just blah, blah, blah. 36. Exactly. That's probably what most of y'all do in your history classes. Not going to lie. I'm not saying that's bad. I was one of those nerds who loved history. I got into it. But everybody else, they just rattle off dates, stuff like that. Okay, Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. It says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Oh, there's a baptism reference. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, what was that promise to Ezekiel?
That he'll be born again.
Right. So you think it would be that much of a stretch for Nicodemus to go, oh, he's talking about Ezekiel. I don't know. If he memorized the whole thing, I don't think it would be that much of a stretch. You do understand that if you're a believer in Jesus, this has happened to you. That he removed the heart of stone, gave you a new heart that is able to obey his law. Not perfectly. So you are a walking supernatural event. I don't know if you think of it that way, but you are a supernatural event walking around. I've seen this happen, presenting the gospel to somebody. Tears start flowing, and they say something like this. I've been at church my whole life, but I've never heard the gospel. I'm like, yes, you have. You have. I promise you have. It's just the Lord decided to do something in this moment. He decided to take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, what does it mean to be born of water and of the Spirit? I think he's talking about this. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And here in Ezekiel he says, I'll sprinkle you clean with water. Interestingly enough, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. What happened at the cross with the Roman guy, with the little thing? And what came out? Water and blood. Interesting. So what does the Holy Spirit do when it comes to salvation? What does he do when it comes to actual salvation? He makes you responsive. He makes you respond to it. Absolutely. Beforehand, we're not responsive. Now all of a sudden it makes sense. Well, he does what they call animates a response to the good news. And that's why people have stories of being in churches their whole life and saying, after 10 years of hearing sermons, I finally heard the gospel. Well, you've heard the gospel before. So the Holy Spirit decided to make it something more than words. All right. So what do you think was behind the phrase Jesus used here, you must be born again, with the explanation of it being compared to the wind? That was an awesome sneeze, by the way. Quick movement. And back. I can. Perfect for him. That's right. If this were an Olympics, that'd be 10. 10.
I don't even know. I'm so quick. I can't see.
That wasn't
Richard. That wasn't old Richard. It was behind him. And much like what we're talking about, the wind. Jesus said here, you got to be born again. And then he explained it to being like the wind. You gotta be born again, but it's like the wind. What? She didn't sneeze on me, I promise you. It was more the jet stream.
Was it Andrew?
It was me.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you this. That one pastor who I got mortified in front of wearing cut-off jean shorts, that guy, Sinclair Ferguson, once said... He was walking by a church sign, and it said, Revival, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Did he say, oh, it should be all the time?
He said, I didn't know the Holy Spirit took Thursdays off. And we all went. So there's a sign that says, Revival, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And he goes, well, I guess the Holy Spirit takes Thursdays off. Do you get what he's saying? You can't conjure up the right scene to have conversions. You can't do that. We try to manufacture conversions sometimes. Some are legit. But I'm sad to say, for the most part, some of them are just emotional responses. And again, there's nothing more awkward than being up on a stage against your will, and there's a guy talking with a microphone in front of like 300 kids, and he goes... While the band's playing, they're showing the Passion of the Christ back there. I kind of had to be there, and they're going, so nobody's going to come up? Nobody loves Jesus in here? And then he points to me. Look at this guy. He's from the Presbyterian Church. He'd love to pray for one of y'all to accept Jesus in your heart. I was like, oh, wait, I didn't know this was part of the gig, man. What are you doing? He was trying to get him. I don't question his desire. But I think you can't just conjure it up like that. You just present the gospel, see what God does with that. Don't chide the audience, which was he was doing. Finally, one sacrificial lamb goes up there, and they're all like, yeah! We can have snacks now. pretty much how it went. All right, so let's read 16 through 21. Oh, wait, I'm in Ezekiel. John 3. I don't know if you ever heard this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, here's something, just my own little two-quarter answer. There's a group that doesn't at all agree with sort of the predestination thing. They're called the whomsoever crowd. And they go, whosoever? Whosoever. God didn't choose him. Whosoever. And here's how the Greek... And I'm okay. Man, I love those people. Here's the Greek. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that the believing ones shall not perish and have eternal life. That the believing ones. So you get what he's saying here in the context of Nicodemus? The wind blows where it wills. That's who's going to accept. You need a new heart to believe this. And then he says, for God so loved the world that the believing ones, kind of puts it in a different light. But I love my whomsoever brother. I do. I get you. I hear you over there. For God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be done plainly and that what he has done has been done through God. Now, is the gospel for me? Can you even see that? Okay. Whoa. What do we learn about God in this section? I mean, just in the little part that we read, is God stingy? What did he give?
His son.
His son. So that is the character nature you are to reflect. You're not a hoarder. Precious, my precious. You are generous. God gave his only son. What do we learn about the son? Did Jesus go to the cross? No, I won't do it. No, he willingly did. What do we learn about whoever believes in him? We'll have eternal life. What else do we learn, though, about whoever believes? Do they have the old same dead heart? They've been worked on. They've been worked on. It. Now, what do we learn about whoever does not believe? They stand condemned. Good. They stand condemned. They stand condemned. Now, do you get what he's saying about everyone who hates the light? Everyone who hates the light, they don't want their stuff to be shown. Not even on Facebook, probably. I made the mistake, horrible mistake, of becoming a Snapchat friend of someone who tried to minister to. And man, just his Facebook is very different from his Snapchat. I don't know if you know people like this. But like, got an update, and like just scrolled through it this morning, and there's like, Facebook, sort of just, can't wait to see my grandmama, stuff like that. Snapchat, 2:45, we're playing beer pong. We're throwing a ping pong ball into the beer pong. It's like, come on, man. And it's just, it's not just that, it's a lot. He don't want that deed exposed, I guess. Or he wants it exposed in a limited way. Not on Facebook, but on Snapchat. And you always hear, your mom on Snapchat? No, no, okay, good. And they all laugh. Man, you just don't want these deeds exposed. And you probably joined me as a friend without even, you're just like, hey, I don't really remember that guy, but yeah. Not my old youth pastor. Okay, more questions. Ponder this. The light came in, but people preferred darkness. What's the good news in this passage? Or excuse me, what's the bad news? I just gave it away. People prefer darkness. They prefer darkness. What's the good news?
The light came,
and there's no condemnation. You realize how, like, this should relieve you of, like, 2 tons off your back. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you stand not condemned. Like, there's something. Have you ever heard of Double Jeopardy?
Yeah.
It's not just a TV show, right? It's a thing in a courtroom setting. This dude is guilty of a crime. But he's been declared not guilty. They can't bring him back on the stand and say, we made a mistake. You are guilty of shoplifting. What's your defense? They can't do that in American law. It's called double jeopardy. That's the way it is with you, believer. And you have an accuser who will take you up in the courtroom of your mind and say, this person did that. This person did that. This person did that. You think they deserve eternal life? God does not deal with double jeopardy. He said those are paid for. Those are completely paid for. No condemning. No condemning. It's already done. So what? Well, let's just end here. How do unbelievers in our culture respond to the term born again? If we just went to downtown Augusta, and pitched that phrase out, born again, what do you think the response would be? You're a kook. What are you talking about? You're one of those, right? You're one of those born again people. Yeah, that's how they respond. What would you say it means, though? What would you say born again means?
Having new life in Christ.
Right. Something supernaturally has definitely happened. What are some implications to you personally that Jesus says you must be born again? Like, hopefully, at the end of this little short lesson, you understand deep, what C.S. Lewis would call deeper in. You're diving more and more into this great thing. This amazing thing happened to you. Like, sometime in the history of your life, you might not remember, that's okay. You've got the best testimony ever if you don't remember. That's okay. That's awesome. If you don't remember a day when you didn't know Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But somewhere along the lines, Jesus was, or the Holy Spirit was pleased to remove things off your eyes. You saw yourself and your sin. You saw Jesus and how awesome he was. And he said, that's it. That's it. Please don't ever, don't ever feel like you've got to have this testimony where you're like, I was beating people up on the side of the road, and you know, Jesus showed up, and now I'm leading an orphanage. It's okay to sit there and say, I don't remember a day when I didn't know Jesus was my Savior. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, what are the implications for others in your interactions with them? Harrison, your teammates. Some may not know the Lord. Some may have a barely flicker. Or Andrew, people on your team. The whole track and field thing. Or some people in your circles who just don't know the Lord. What are the implications for them right here? How would you pray for them? Man, I would sit there and hit my knees and say, you know, open up their heart. I can't do this. And it's true. I can't physically, literally do this. He has to do it. In one way, that should take the pressure off of you. Like when you're presenting the gospel, it's not you. Not you at all. He's going to do it. Or he's going to win. Or something like that. But it's not based on you and your usage of words and your ability to convey it and all this other stuff. So many people get, I can't do that. Well, you're right. You can. Jesus can. That's the good news. So without further ado, let's go ahead and close in prayer. We have like, I would say 4 minutes. 4 minutes? Something like that. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the new birth. What we understand that to be, and Lord, thank you for opening up the hearts, eyes, and ears of many people in this room, if not all. I pray, God, that you would bring us further in to this great event called the new birth and what you've done for us. Lord, may we be a people who are thankful. Lord, burden our hearts for prayer to those who don't know you. And Lord, I pray that we be faithful to deliver the message and leave you the results. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.